prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. And with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Help me sing it.
Lord, prepare
to be a sanctuary.
Amen, amen. Let the church say amen for the gospel ensemble. And for, directed by Jeremy Price, with our wonderful band, Dion, Basic, and Boom Boom. We're also excited to have the children's chorus with us today. Good morning, Middle Church. My name is Rob Stevens. I'm Minister for Congregational Life. I bring you greetings on behalf of our senior minister in the consistory, our senior minister Jackie Lewis, who's away this weekend. We'll be back later this week and back next week. Welcome. Who's here for the first time? If you please raise your hand for the first time. Where are y'all from? What's that? Summit, New Jersey. All right. Amen. Hey, who else? Keep your hands up. We got something we want to bring to you. Where are you from?
France.
France. All right. Anyone else? Oh, we got up there. Where are you from? France again. All right. Welcome. So glad to have you there. Everyone wave to the folks online who have no excuse because of this weather. I'm sorry. No, it's fine. I'm sure you have great excuses. But thank you for being with us as well. So quick announcements. Next week, we will be hosting the Spiritual Sounds of the East Village, which is in its ninth year. It is an amazing event where faith communities from this neighborhood come together and share in a worship of their choice. The imam from Medina Masjid comes and comes and prays beautiful prayers. The Hare Krishnas come and do their thing. They're going to feed us afterwards. Two synagogues are coming with their offerings, including the shul, who meets here, the Russian Orthodox Cathedral, and of course our gospel choir will be there. And so it's 5 o'clock next week right here. We hosted the first one, haven't hosted in a while, so it's coming back, and we really hope Middle shows up and supports in the evening on Sunday. Also next week, we will be have guests from a group called Discovery for Justice. It's in your bulletin. They are a group of attorneys and judges and legal advocates who are fighting to reform open discovery laws in New York. New York is still backwards. I told the governor's office the other day, there's very few times I get my home state puts New York to shame, North Carolina. But this is one of them, that New York has backwards laws on discovery. North Carolina has actually fairly good laws on it. But still to this day, you don't even have to get any of the evidence presented to you until the day of trial. Your attorney will walk in and there's the evidence. And so there's no laws that require them to share it. So over 90% of cases get settled out of court. With people who have no idea what is actually being presented against them. So it's something we need to change, and we have a good chance of changing it this legislative year. So please come for, they'll be speaking at Bible in the Middle at 10:45 on the fourth floor classroom with a teach-in, and they'll also be in worship. Also the following week, we will have a spirituals concert here in the afternoon at 2:30. Please join us for that to launch Black History Month. And also, the choir sang about sanctuary, and the sanctuary has been in the news, especially the new Sanctuary Coalition here in New York, and we'll be sending stuff out about it and posting it online, but there's training for those who are interested in accompaniment, which is a great ministry and a protest to accompany people to their ICE hearings at immigration. And I think that's it. So please, prepare your hearts for worship and stand for, as you are able, for the opening hymn, Hold to God's Unchanging Hand. Thank you.
Amen. Please remain standing if you can for the prayer of thanksgiving. Let's just take a deep breath and center ourselves. Oh, great God, we come to you with our heads bowed, our hearts open, full of thanksgiving, full of gratitude, full of praise for the wonderful things you have done for us, for the wonderful things you will do for us. We lift our hearts to you. We ask you to have your way with us, to use us, to change us, to grow us up, so that our face always faces yours. We thank you. We thank you that you woke us. We thank you that you are with us. And we thank you because you will never leave us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.
I know that I can stand. traditional gospel ensemble. Loving having you. It is time for the message for all ages. So, young and young at heart, you can race up to the stage carefully using the stairs still and join me for a message for all ages. Hello, all these friends. Come on up. So, some of you are village chorus singers, and you already talked with me earlier today. So hold back some of your answers so some of our newer friends can hear too, but jump in when we need your insight as well. We are going to be looking at a scripture passage today from the book of Romans, Romans 12. And I want to break down some of the themes that are happening there. We are told in Romans to take our life, our everyday, ordinary life, our sleeping life, our eating life, our learning life, our playing life, our going to school life, our walking around the city life, that life. And we are to take that everyday life and place it before God as an offering. What is that all about? Eyebrows. Okay. Eyebrow look. Our everyday, ordinary life is an offering to God. Like, we might collect money and call that offering, but that's not the only thing we can offer to God. It's the everyday things we do. We can connect to God and offer that, our bodies, ourselves, our lives to God. You got my cards, Ellington? I might need them. Sneaky there. Like a magic trick, they reappeared. So, the passage goes on to say that in our everyday life, we do many normal things, like we might eat pizza, we might eat ice cream, we might go to the park with our friends, and all of those things require our bodies to do motion. It compares our connection in our everyday life to being like one body working together. So Henry might be, he's cracking his neck right now. Henry might be the neck right here. Okay. What else do I have going on? Oh, Kaylin's doing this with her knuckles. Maybe Kaylin's the hands. And Ellington just curled his tongue in a really cool way. So Ellington's the tongue here. All these different body parts, they don't do a lot. If I just have a tongue doing a cool trick, it's cool, but it's all by itself. It still needs the rest of, like, the neck to turn to the congregation to show everyone else what was going on. Your body works together like that. You are all different parts working together, too. So let's think of something you do in your everyday life. Throw it out to me. What's something you do just every day? Play video games. What parts of your body do you need to play a video game? Thumbs, Henry says. What else? Brain. Anything else? Your eyes. Yeah. Your eyes are watching the screen. Mouth to scream when you accomplish something. Yep. All of those. You're using all of that together when you play the video game. So if you just have your thumbs, it might not help.
You also need your index.
Oh, you also need your index fingers. True. Let's be more specific here. But you also need your eyes and your brain and your mouth to exclaim, yes, I got it, I'm moving to the next level. All of those are working together. So this chapter in Romans is saying that normal, everything we do in our life, we offer those to God. And all the ways that we work together, we offer that to God as well. It's us not just saying, oh, just the tongue is important, or just the fingers, or just the neck. It's the body working together to play a video game. That's where the magic happens, my friends. So, with that video game example in mind, think of something else that you do every day in your life that requires many parts of your body.
Eating.
Eating. Yes? Oh, is that a hand? What do you do every day in your life, Zane? Do you play? Do you read books? What?
Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Everyday life.
Play with my pups.
Play with your pups?
Or pop.
Like bobble, like the bobble.
Oh, the pops.
Except their heads don't fall.
Okay, playing.
Watch my friend Kira and my friends always fight each other.
Watching your friends maybe not getting along all the time. Okay, so it requires All these things require multiple parts of your body working together, and that represents us, the church, the body of Christ, working together too. Keep that in mind in your everyday life as you offer it to God and as we work together. Let's pray, my friends. Hold hands, if you're willing, around our blanket. And you can repeat after me. Dear God, we offer you our everyday life. Our sleeping, eating, drinking life.
Our sleeping, eating, drinking life.
Our learning, playing, growing life.
Our learning, playing, growing life.
And we ask that you remind us that we are connected to each other.
And we ask that you remind us that we are connected to each other.
Like a body working in motion.
Like a body working in motion.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you got your preview of the scripture. Let's sing Sia Humba as we return to our grown-ups.
Amen. I did forget to celebrate yesterday's big march for everyone who came out and supported. We had a Freedom Choir. And I do want to celebrate all those who tried to find us and got lost in the crowd. It was an amazing group, but we did come up with some new songs and some old songs, so we got the middle Freedom Singers coming to you. So if you would find a posture of prayer that's comfortable for you as we enter a moment of silent meditation and prayer. Holy Creator God, we come to you this morning aware that moments like this are not to be taken for granted. Come aware that you have handpicked each person to be in this room and online with us to have this worship experience. We know that this moment will never happen again, that the configuration of individuals where we are in our lives, we'll never meet in this same way. So we enter into this sacred space knowing that you are here already. We ask that you open our hearts to your already present among us love. We know that for many, or for some, that even getting here this morning was an accomplishment. That getting out of bed can be difficult even. That opening up our computer to watch worship is what we can count as a day well done. That depression is all around us in this winter time. We know that many are struggling with grief of losing loved ones in the past few weeks, anniversaries of lost loved ones, grieving missed opportunities, grieving lost relationships and broken relationships, unemployment and underemployment, housing crises that make loving others difficult because with a broken heart, it's hard to make it work. So we ask healing in all those places that need healing. We ask forgiveness for those ways that we let our kindness slip, where we said an unloving word to a friend or a neighbor. We also ask forgiveness for when we did not speak up, when we could have, to intervene on your behalf in building up of your kingdom. God, we know that on the midnight hour on Friday, on the anniversary of a disastrous administration, the government shut down. It's been a hard year. We know the administration is only there because of the worst of our fears being played upon. But we know that on Saturday morning, thousands stood up all across the country in a resounding yes to the love that we want to embody. Yes to a liberation that is not contingent on who is in office, but is contingent on our willingness to say yes to you. We love you, God. Be with us now. Be with us as we join these movements and open up to your creative spirit being unleashed through your people. We ask all these things in your mighty and loving and tender names. Amen. If you please rise as you're able and hold hands as you're willing as we sing the Lord's, you can sing it if you want, but as we say the Lord's Prayer in whatever version you feel like. Ever-loving and holy God, hallowed be your name. Your reign come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the reign, the power, and the glory forever and ever.
Amen. Amen. Now pass the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and pass it like you mean it. Thank you.
reading from Romans 12, 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy in proportion to faith. Ministry in ministering. The teacher in teaching. The exhorter in exhortation. The giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thank you, Kaliswa, for that gorgeous reading. And thank you, choirs. We have Jeremy and Dion have brought us the amazing traditional gospel ensemble for the first time this morning. Thank you for singing. And the village chorus is hot. Wait till you hear them. They're singing right after this. And they had me on my feet today. I retitled my sermon, It's About a Body, the Divinity of the Body. Will you say a short prayer with me? Hey God, it is us. I put my hands out to you to receive your grace and your presence. Help us to be fully alive in this moment, to be present to your grace, your wisdom, your joy, and your peace. May each person here feel your powerful love of how much you deeply love them. Amen. In the Christian calendar, it is the season of Epiphany, a season that throws a party at the idea that at Christmas, God chose to move from spirit into human form, a person that we could love and feel. My heart has been replaying a meditation I heard by a Franciscan priest named Richard Rohr. He's in his mid-70s and he lives in New Mexico. And Richard Rohr said for the first 1,200 years of Christianity, the great celebration and feast was all around Holy Week. It was around the crucifixion and the resurrection, and that is when the party would happen. But 1,200 years into Christianity, St. Francis of Assisi comes on the scene. And he says there's no need to wait for the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection. That the party should happen, the feast should happen, when God takes on human form at Christmas. It's a symbol that love is here from the beginning. St. Francis loved this so much that he said, even the walls should eat meat at Christmas. And he said, we should put lights on the trees because they already have the light of God within them. And we still do that 800 years later. Rohr said, Christmas has become a great celebratory feast because really what God is saying when God takes on human form is, it is good to be human. It is good to be on this earth. It is good to be in flesh. It's good to have emotions, and it's good to have sexuality, spoken by a Franciscan priest. The theology here also celebrates the present moment, the here and now. Rohr also asked how different our idea of God would be if the central images of Christianity were that of a baby, where there is love from the start. And I would also add how different it would be if the central images of Christianity were of a Palestinian baby, a caramel-colored baby, because Jesus from Nazareth was a Jew from Palestine who came from a people who had been enslaved. Ever since I heard that reflection from Rohr, I've been thinking about the images of Christianity that hang on necklaces or in the front of churches or outside in churchyards. And I was imagining, what if those images could be of a caramel-colored baby? How could that reframe our thoughts about our own bodies and about brown bodies? If generations saw God as a brown baby, how could a nation and an administration get away with conducting ICE raids on so many immigrants? From undocumented workers at 7-Eleven stores, barring Haitians from getting visas, to low-skilled workers, to the termination of protected status to El Salvadorians, Hondurans, Haitians, years after the natural disasters occurred in their country. A self-professed Christian would not be saying vulgar comments about people from African countries or the African diaspora if the symbol of God was of a brown baby. Today's text gave me three important insights. First, in the opening phrases of today's scripture, it says, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." Now, when I first read that, I felt allergic to it. I'm going to tell you why, because I got stuck on the word sacrifice. And my stomach cringed. But then upon further research, what Paul is saying as Marta read the message version when she was talking to the children is instead of killing animals as an offering or a sacrifice, as we saw in many Old Testament stories, but rather offer your very life, your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, waking, going to work, everyday living, walking around life, and place that to God, before God, as an offering. That is a form of worship. Some of us worship and use our bodies to create and write. Others dance and teach. Many of us parent or mentor children. All of these are forms of worship. And there was a fierce choir yesterday in that women's march from Middle Church. And some people, it took us 2.5 hours just to get to that one place because 200,000 New Yorkers showed up yesterday as a form of worship. And if you remember last Sunday, there was a song that says, it went down to the rich man's house. And, the choir changed up the words, and they sang, "Went down to the White House, and I took back what he stole from me." And when they were singing that, there was this dancing happening right in front of us. People were so excited to be enlivened by the spirit, which is music, which is worship. And Americans and people from all around the globe have been showing up from Washington, LA, Chicago, Philadelphia, Rome, today in Las Vegas and Lansing, Michigan, to use our everyday lives to be voices of justice, to be voices of worship. When we gather for worship, we grow in our spirits, in education or small groups. When we rise for justice, when we celebrate that each of our lives are divine, and we celebrate the collective divine body. One of you before church just showed me the picture of yesterday's march. It gives you chills to see the amount of people who stood up yesterday for justice. Second, there is this verse in the text that I could read 50 times a day. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." Do not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God. That is so powerful to me. The material world is not going to give us peace. It could not quite be found in a rent-controlled apartment, a pair of jeans, any job, no matter the income. It won't be found on the next date or if we have children or not. It won't be found once we live into a certain dream. The full-bodied, visceral peace comes from God, and it is actually available at any moment. For me, it's moments of great stillness or a great, loud, raucous joy, like hearing you sing. Whew! Any given Sunday, right here. The African-American New Testament commentary says about this verse, it calls for the transformation of the mind because he knows that actions are generated by attitudes. This transformation isn't a one-time event, but a constant struggle. And it reminded me of an old interview I heard between Oprah Winfrey and Marianne Williamson, because I grew up on Oprah, and I grew up reading Marianne Williamson. Oprah had called Marianne crying. Someone had done something to Oprah that was a deep betrayal. And Marianne said to Oprah, "If you want to change it, pray for them." And Oprah said, "I cannot pray for them. You want me to pray for them?" And Marianne said, "Pray for that person's happiness for 30 days. Every morning, 5 minutes if you can, because that's what alchemy is. Or if I might say, that's what transformation is." And Oprah pushed back, "I am not going to pray for somebody that is causing me harm or I feel has harmed me." And Marianne responded, "Our greatest power to change the world is our power to change our mind about the world. And all minds are joined. There's no place where you stop and I start." So if I pray for you and I pray for your happiness, one of two things will happen. Either you will behave differently or I won't care. That is the alchemy that will occur. And Oprah pushed back, but in the beginning, it is so hard. Because how do I pray for someone who you feel has really harmed you? And Marianne said, "So it's easy to sit there in the anger and the toxicity and the bitterness? That is what is hard. What's hard is walking around with the anger. That is even harder." Now notice Marianne doesn't say that change is going to happen in 3 or 4 days. Years ago, I did this practice for 3 months straight in the morning, and a transformation did occur. And when in prayer, we can also say, in addition to their happiness or them feeling the love of God, "I surrender the resentment, the betrayal, the anger, and ask God to replace it with peace at the core of my being." Because if we don't offer up what is our everyday walking around thoughts to God that are toxic, they get stuck in us and our hearts get a little closed. This prayer is a ritual of forgiveness, and we don't need to forgive someone because they deserve it. We can forgive someone because we want to be free, so we're not saturated with the bitterness. So that phrase again, to not be conformed by this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, isn't easy. Not for any of us. We have to work at it. And the very first thing we can do when we want transformation of the mind is just a very deep breath. Whether you're sitting on a subway car or sitting in your office or sitting at your kitchen table, a deep breath to the bottom of the soles of your feet. And if you're able to move, a walk, or a run, or a yoga class, or a dance, or singing, even if you don't think you can sing. And if you don't really want to sing, you can always hear these amazing choirs at church. Because how many times does the middle church choir and the gospel choir and the new traditional gospel ensemble and the children's choir rearrange yourselves? And finally, the scripture closes by saying, not to think of yourself too highly. Don't be bossy, the Message version says. Now, I have to tell you about probably, I don't know, 5 years ago or something. I'd lived in New York about 8 years at that time. And one of my mentors called me. She said, I just have to be really honest with you. You have become arrogant since moving to New York. And then my mom heard that. And she goes, oh, I'm so glad she told you that. Hi, Mom. This is a call to humility. And it reminds me of a favorite essay of mine from Cheryl Strayed's Tiny Beautiful Things, where a 26-year-old Brooklyn writer writes an advice columnist and is very emotional about the fact that she is not a successful writer at the age of 26. And Cheryl Strayed writes back to her that I want you to, on a blackboard, write two words. On one word, write the word humility. And on the other word, on the other side of the chalkboard, write the word surrender. Presenting our ordinary lives to God often means letting go of the outcome, putting ourselves in the space to see where God is and where the process itself will take us. And when we do this, we are reminded that we are not alone. We have a collective body, so that when we have the gifts of the eyes, someone else will have the gifts of the hearing and the feet. And so in this season of Epiphany, we are reminded that God took on a body like yours. So we could see ourselves as divine, to see that God is blessing our humanity from the beginning with love, and to see our bodies and our sensuality and our sexuality as divine. And oh, the fights the church could avoid if they saw our bodies as divine, if they saw the goodness of women's bodies, the phenomenalness of our LGBT brothers and sisters' bodies, of our trans siblings' bodies, the divinity of brown bodies and black bodies, of Muslim bodies and Jewish bodies. So we offer our everyday lives and our bodies, which are a form of worship, and all the thoughts in our minds of hopes and fears to God every day, so we don't have to hold it. We surrender with humility. As we turn ourselves over to God over and over again, may we all each know that we are a part of a divine body that is holding us and loving us every day. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, may that center us. May it be so. Amen.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Gloria Moy, and I'm here to share with you what Middle means to me, and also to invite you to join the movement. I started coming to Middle in 1998. At that time, I had dropped out of seminary, had my first bout of cancer, and was unemployed and unemployable. The first time I came to service, I sat in the back row and scooted out the door before anyone could talk to me. And I came here because one of my friends was a member of the gospel choir. What kept me coming was, aside from the breakfast of bacon and biscuits for Sunday school, there was an unconditional acceptance and love and the radical welcome that I received. Like many of you, I've come from a number of churches that were racist and homophobic and were not very welcoming to people who didn't look like them. This church became home for me. Fast forward to 2018, I went back to seminary. I've beaten cancer twice, two more times. And by the grace of God, May 19th, I will be graduating.
All right.
Yeah. So my challenge to you, if you've been coming to Middle for a while and it feels like home to you, why don't you get more involved? I invite you to join the movement. If you're interested in joining the movement or learning more, there'll be somebody up here after service to answer your question, just sign you up. We also need your financial support. that helps keep the lights on and the heat on, and to be able to continue programming such as Brunch in the Middle, Bible in the Middle, Gospel Choir, and all the other things, that great things that go on here. So please give generously. Thank you. Loving and holy God, please accept these gifts of offering as a token of our love and thanksgiving to you. May these gifts be used to forward your work. In Christ's name, amen.
How about Christina, y'all? How about these choirs? Thank you, choirs. Children's choirs. All right, and I have to give a shout out to our amazing AV team. They really like hugs. Harold, Carl, and Brandon back there. And to all of you, thank you for being here. We do have to flip the sanctuary, so you are very welcome. In the sanctuary, in the social hall afterwards. Not, you're welcome here too, but if we could just move on to the sanctuary for our fellow. Social hall. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Come right now. All right. If you haven't been changed by the worship today, we are leaving here different people reconfigured by this experience. So please accept a benediction. All loving Creator God, we thank you for this experience where we get to rehearse your reign, where we come just a little bit closer to the eternal, just on the surface of our souls, where we get to celebrate you. Give us more of these experiences this week. Protect us, guide us, be with us, and bring us back together again. We pray all these things in your mighty, loving, and tender names. Amen.